Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bob Ilson, and we're set as usual for our Sunday morning show. And in just a couple of minutes, we'll be talking baseball with an old friend of mine, a former Yankee great, Moose Gowron. This guy was quite a ball player and quite a hitter and quite a dedicated ball player, something I've always admired in any kind of an athlete, regardless of what the sport is. I suppose you all saw the fight, and you saw Clay make his comeback and win the heavyweight championship again, and Spinks, I thought, put up a good fight. This kid hasn't had too much experience, but I wonder what would have happened to the fight game had Clay been defeated, because he is the color, he is the guy that brings the big money around, and he put up quite a fight, and for a fellow his age, I thought he had really remarkable stamina. Remember, the Cubs are home today. They'll be playing the St. Louis Cardinals. It's your last chance to see St. Louis. And the White Sox are on the road. And the Cubs have a big series coming up with Pittsburgh this week. That'll be on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Thursday at 6 o'clock, Dave Kingman, well-known Cubs slugger and quite a ball player, will be our guest out here for an autographing session. You can get his autograph and his picture. That's at Northwest Federal on Irving Park. Dave Kingman will be here Thursday night from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. We'll be back with our guest, Moose Gowron, in just a moment. We're very happy to see an old friend again and to have him as a guest on our show, Moose Gowron. I broadcast many a ball game that Moose played in, saw him hit many a home run. It's an oddity you've always mentioned to me, Moose, when we've talked about home run hitting, and you were a powerful right-hand hitter, that you hit most of your home runs off right-hand pitching.
Well, in the minor leagues in Kansas City, I hit 40 home runs in 1952, Bob, and I'd say maybe 25 to 30 home runs were hit off of right-handed pitchers. I never like to hit against a left-handed pitcher. I don't know why, because I guess I like the ball high and away from me, and I'd go to the opposite field. And off of right-handers, that's where they would pitch me. A lot of curveballs outside and sliders. But a left-hander, he'd always break that slider in on my fist, and I couldn't handle that pitch. But I made a mistake. In 1955, I was very close with Tom Morgan, who was a great pitcher with the Yankees. They call him the Plowboy. And he says, Moose, what do you look at the plate when you go up to face a certain pitcher? Because I was hitting around 400, and I was looking for all the changeups and curves. I'd give the pitcher the fastball. And I'll be darned, he got traded a week later, and it went around the league that Moose is only looking for the breaking stuff and a changeup. And I made a mistake by telling his pitcher. I never thought he'd get traded.
Well, what about some of the interesting people that you met with the New York Yankees? You were a teammate of the best bad ball hitter in the history of baseball, Yogi Berra.
Well, Yogi was very good to me when I first joined the Yankees in 1954. He asked me to room with him, and I says, Yogi, I says, you've been here so long, you got seniority. I says, if I room with you, I says, everybody on the club will tease me. So I room with Bob Serve, and Bob Serve got traded, and 2 years later I said, Yogi, can I room with you? He said, Moose, you had your chance in 1954. But Yogi, as far as his comic books and everything, as you know, Bob, Yogi would buy a dozen comic books when we leave New York on a train, come to Chicago, and he'd stop at this store, the bookstore, and get the comic books, and he read every one of them, Archie, Binky, Love and Romances, but this was his day of relaxing on a train. We used to take the train a lot of times.
Well, have you ever seen a better late-inning hitter than Yogi Berra?
Well, I was commenting a couple days ago about when Yogi called in sick at the ballpark at Yankee Stadium, and the trainer told Casey Stengel, he says, Yogi won't be at the park because he don't feel good. Casey says, get him on the phone. Casey called up Yogi. Casey says, Yogi, you come to the ballpark. He says, you might pinch hit. And I'll be darned, we were playing the Chicago White Sox at Yankee Stadium. It was the bottom of the ninth inning. And Billy was beating us 1-0. Yogi comes up to pinch hit with two outs with a man on first base. It's a two-run homer. And I never forgot that. That's why I think when a man is injured, he can sit on that bench and he can pinch hit. It happened to me here in Chicago one day. I couldn't run, and there were bases loaded. I think you remember this game. Dick Donovan was beating the Yankees 3-0. He swept us 3 out of 4 games, and it was the second game of a doubleheader. And they brought in a pitcher by the name of Jim Wilson. And Casey says, Mooster's base is loaded and one out. He says, if you hit a ground ball, just drop the bat and come to the dugout. Because if you re-injure yourself, you're going to be out for 6 weeks. So Jim Wilson come in. He threw me a high fastball. I hit a grand slam home run. And Tommy Byrne followed me with a home run. And I guess we won the game 6-4 and knocked the White Sox out of the pennant race. But when you're hurt, you can still hit.
Moose, you played for a number of good managers. Casey Stengel was one. You played for Ralph Houk. You played for Al Lopez, among others. What about the different philosophies of managing? Was there anything notable, let's say, Houk's thinking different than Stengel or Lopez's thinking different than Stengel?
Well, Casey, I enjoyed playing for him. I mean, when I first signed my Yankee contract, he says, Moose, he said, if you sign up with the Yankees, I'll have you here in 3 years in the major leagues. And I did make it after 3 years in the minor leagues. But Casey used a lot of psychology on ballplayers. He'd get ballplayers where they were angry. Where if he took them out for a pinch hitter, I got taken out one day, my first year in the big leagues. We were playing the Detroit Tigers, and bases were loaded and no outs. And Billy Heft was a starting pitcher, and I'm hitting cleanup, man. All of a sudden, Casey, they brought in a right-handed pitcher because he walked two guys, and one guy got an infield hit. And I heard the whistle in the dugout, and Casey says, Moose, come here. And I says, what? He says, I'm taking you out for a pinch hitter. I says, taking out in the first inning? And I threw the bat against the boards in there, and I went in the clubhouse. I was angry. I didn't even take a shower. I put on my civvy clothes. I went back to the hotel. Eddie Robinson, the old former Sox, we acquired the Yankees that year, and Eddie Robinson hit a double with the bases loaded. We won 3-0. I come to the ballpark the next day, and Casey was waiting for me. And as soon as I walked in the clubhouse, Casey says, Moose, come on in my office. He slammed the door. He says, don't you ever do that to me again. He says, I want a ball game. I don't care how your feelings, if they were hurt or not. He says, I'm out to win. And that's the way Casey was. I remember one day Hank Bauer hit two home runs in a double, took him out for a pinch hitter. Gene Woodland comes up and hits a home run. What do you need to say? He's been successful doing this all his career, and he was the one that started the platoon system. Ralph Houk was a man, nice slap backer on the back and everything. I remember in 62 we beat the San Francisco Giants, and I scored the winning run that day. We won 1-0. That's when McCovey hit that line drive at Bobby Richardson for the third out. And I was in the shower room, and Ralph Houk come up to me, and he says, Moose, you're going to be here a long time. I got traded 2 weeks later. So you never know about Ralph Houk. Walt Alston was a great man. I had the pleasure to play for Gil Hodges. Great man. I learned a lot of things about first base from him. But I was really thrilled, Bob, when I got traded back home to Chicago, where I was born and raised, and played for Al Lopez. He was a great man and a genuine man. I mean, I always told him, I says, I wanted to play for him, and I finally got here with the Sox, and in 64, we lost the pennant by one game, and I'll never forget it. You probably remember, too. We beat the Yankees 4 in a row at Sox Park, and all of a sudden, Phil Lenz got on a bus and started playing that damn harmonica, and I guess that motivated the Yankees because Yogi and Frank Grassetti got in a fight with Jim Boughton on a bus. No, with Phil Lenz, and they went to Cleveland. We won 9 in a row to end the season, and we figured if they split with Cleveland, they had two doubleheaders in 2 days, we'd be in good shape. But the Yankees won 11 in a row, and we lost the pennant by one game. To me, that would have been my biggest thrill in my career because I'd have been with three different clubs and then three different World Series with three different clubs.
Well, the Yankees have made a remarkable comeback since Bob Lemon took over as manager, and it looks very much like they're going to win it. And if they do, I think Lemon will probably be manager of the year.
Bob, I'll tell you, he was a tough man when I had to play against him when he was with Cleveland. He was a great pitcher. He had a good curveball and a sinker. And he's a gentleman, too, on the field and off the field. And I'll tell you, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I know when he was managing the White Sox, I'd go and talk to him at Sox Park, and he says, Moose, you're always welcome in my clubhouse, and that made me feel good. And then Mr. Vic got rid of Bob Lemon, and Bob Lemon became a manager at the Yankees, which I said when they got rid of Bob Lemon that he's going to be the Yankee manager, and I'll be darned, I predicted that 2 months after he got fired.
When you talk contract when you're with the Yankees, did you ever have a chance to talk to George Weiss? Tell me he was a tough man to do business with.
I met the man, but I never was one-on-one. You know, in our time, when we had contract squabbles, I always saw his assistant, which was Roy Hamey, and he would tell me how lousy I was, and I'd have to tell him how good I was. I averaged 9 contracts per year writing, sending back in the mail, up and back. But Roy Hamey was the only man that I talked to. Mr. Hamey always took care of the bigger guys like Mantle and Yogi and Maris. And
you said that Yogi Berra had some gimmick to get signed.
Oh, Yogi, the Yankees always, we had a Christmas party, and I said, Yogi, how do you get signed up so fast? He said, well, Moose, he says, at the Christmas party, he says, I go to the bathroom, and he says, I'll be darned, he says, Mr. Hamey's there, Mr. Weiss, and he signs his contract in the bathroom by a handshake, and all of a sudden, I said, well, I'm going to try that, and about after 4 years, Mr. Hamey went to the washroom, and I followed him in there, and we started talking. He says, Moose, how's your contract? And I says, well, Mr. Hamey, I want to get a raise. I says, I haven't had a raise here in 3 years. And he says, well, what do you want? And I told him that, what I wanted, and I got it. And I come out, I was so happy. I says, Yogi, I'm going to believe you now the rest of my life. Yogi was an amazing man, Bob, and I really enjoyed playing with him. And now he's a pitching coach, or he sits next to the manager, and he counts the pitches for the, if the pitcher throws over 100 pitches, he tells Bob Lemon, that's enough, take him out of the ballgame. But Yogi's got a little clicker. He's already getting blisters now.
Well, you had some great pitchers with the Yankees when you were there.
Oh, I had Ellie Reynolds, Vic Rashi, Eddie Lopat, Whitey Ford, Tommy Byrne, Larson, Bob Turley. Bob, we had a ball club that was togetherness, and we played as a team. And that's why the Yankees were successful in the 50s. I mean, there was nobody jealous of one another. If Mickey Mantle was making $125,000, or Richardson was making $30,000, or Tony Kubek was making $50,000, we played to win the American League pennant because, as you know, that's a thrill of a ball player is to play in World Series. And I've been very fortunate in my career to participate in 8 World Series, which, like Ernie Banks and Ron Santo, I was kidding Ronnie yesterday, I was at a golf outing with him, and he says, Moose, he says, let me look at that ring. He says, I played 14, 15 years, I've never been in one. And I said, that's a thrill of all ball players' lives, is to play in a World Series.
Well, it certainly is. And we've had some great ones in the last few years, and it looks like now the die is pretty well set. The Dodgers are home. They should win in that division. In the other division, I don't think anybody's going to. Pittsburgh is making a run at them. They're only 3 games out, but I look for the Phillies to stay there. In the American League, the Yankees have made a really remarkable surge now to where they're in front by just about 3 games. And in the other division, Kansas City seems to have pulled away from California.
Yes, those are the 4 teams. I meet a lot of people, and they always ask me, Moose, who do you think's going to win their divisions? And I said, well, you don't knock winners. Last year, these same 4 teams have won their divisions, and they strengthened their clubs by acquisition of some new ball players. And I don't believe in knocking a team that's won, and all those teams that won. So I figure I picked my guys out. But the 2 teams I picked to participate in the World Series last year was Kansas City and the Phillies. I wanted them to win because Kansas City deserves the winner out there. They draw a lot of people. Philadelphia drew close to 3 million people last year. And the 2 teams that I picked watched television like I did because the Yankees played against the Dodgers.
Moose Caron, as a player, you were in the big leagues for many, many years. What do you think these big salaries do to attitudes?
Well, I don't know. I was very fortunate. The most I ever made in the major leagues was $50,000 my last 4 or 5 years playing with the White Sox. And at that time, there was no squabbles. I remember Mickey showed me his check for 2 weeks. It was $10,000. He was making $100,000 at that time. But Mickey was as jolly as hell. But nowadays, I don't know, guys are making $200,000. They figure, I think their attitude, if they go 0 for 5 or 0 for 10, it doesn't bother them. I went 0 for 40, and I was worried about Casey bringing up a minor league ball player to take my position. Then I went 1 for 20. I went 1 for 60 in the major leagues. And I finished the season hitting .319. I think the modern day ball player is not as hungry as we were. That's the difference. I mean, we had a lot of minor league ball clubs. Kansas City and Birmingham, we were checking the sporting news to make sure that none of these guys were doing good, because if I was in a slump, I'd be down in the minors in case you would bring somebody up. And I think the ball players now are complacent. They know there's no guys in the minor leagues to take their job.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, was a former Yankee great. He also played with the White Sox, a well-known Chicagoan, Moose Caron. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. All I wanted to remind our listeners we're going to be talking a lot of football in the weeks ahead. Next Sunday, our guest is going to be the great football writer with the Tribune, Don Pearson. He is one of the best football writers in the country, in my opinion. The following week, our guest will be a former great quarterback, Sid Luckman, who's been our guest a number of times. And then we'll have Virgil Carter, we'll have Ziggy Zarabsky, we'll have a lot of football greats coming up. So be sure to catch our show every Sunday morning. Our guest today is Moose Garin. You had a chance to play with alongside a fellow, and you were with him all the time. I broadcast many a game that he played in, but you had a chance to really observe him. And I remember Casey Stengel saying, "I wish I could stay around long enough to see Mickey Mantle play on two legs." How great was Mantle?
Bob, to me, he was the greatest all-around player that I ever played with or against. I mean, not because Mickey and I were teammates, but this guy always played 100%. There were days that he would strike out four or five times in a game, and he'd come in the clubhouse, and I had the pleasure to be between him and Yogi in the Yankee clubhouse, and he'd start crying. And I said, "Mickey, what's the matter?" He said, "Moose, I let the spectators down. They paid a lot of money to see me." And he said, "I didn't even hit the ball." I said, "Mick, tomorrow's another day." But there were days he couldn't even throw. We just wanted him in center field. We gave him it was like a decoy because we wanted Mickey to swing the bat. And he played center field for 2 weeks, and nobody knew he had a bad arm. That's one thing about the Yankees. When the guys were hurt, we protected their injury, which nobody would know about because they wouldn't take the extra base on them. But to me, I have to classify Mantle. Mays, I didn't play too much against. I guess he was an all-around great ball player. Hank Aaron, to me, was probably the greatest right-handed hitter I ever played against in my time. Ted Williams, to me, was the greatest left-handed hitter. I feared him more than anybody in baseball as a left-hander. When he came up to
good,
the plate,
you had good reason to.
Bob, when he came up to the plate, I had my teeth knocked out at Weber High School here in Chicago and had them reset again when I was in college. But whenever he came up to the plate, I was scared of him because I know he'd hit balls at me that would handcuff me. And he was a great man. I mean, if I was in a slump, he'd always like to talk to kids about hitting. And I was in a slump in Fenway Park, and that's a good park for me. And I says, "Ted, what do you think I'm doing wrong?" He said, "Moose, you're trying to pull a ball over that green monster." He said, "Try to go to right field." That day I would hit two home runs in a right field bullpen, and he'd say, "Moose, don't tell no writers that I told you this." But that's the way he was. He was very helpful, a lot of guys.
How was Casey Stengel when it came to team meetings? Let's say you have an important series coming up with a team. What happens when you go over the hitters and that sort of thing?
Well, Casey would go over the hitters, but the thing is, what we did in New York, the ball players themselves had meetings. I mean, we didn't get in touch with the coaches or the manager. We had 25 guys. We'd get a room. Ellie Reynolds and Jerry Coleman would run our meetings for us. And they'd say, "Boys, we got to get in before curfew. We got a chance to win the American League pennant. Now let's start taking care of our bodies. And nobody's going to be out late. You get your rest. If you get caught, it's going to cost you $250 or $500. But we had our meetings without the manager or the coaches, and that's what was great team spirit. And that's the way we operated. Don Larson, you better come home early. And he'd be in early because we only had two or three more weeks after the season. You can do anything you want.
Did you ever hear Stengel hang a fine on anyone?
I think Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford got fined, $5,000. They were bad boys, but they were great athletes. I can't mention whatever happened on that thing, but they got in a little problem, and I think Mr. Topping took care of fine Whitey Ford and Mickey Mantle. But then when we won the pennant, Casey got the money back from Mr. Topping and Webb.
Were you there? Were you a member of the Yankees the night of that famous brawl in a nightclub?
No, yeah. I'll never forget this thing. A lot of people, it was at the Copacabana, and we had just got back from Kansas City, and Hank Bauer was on a plane with his wife sitting next to me. And Billy Martin says, "Moose," he says, "we're having a birthday party for me at the Copacabana." He says, "Can you come?" I says, "No, I don't want to go." And I says, "Hank, why don't you take your wife? You go to that Copacabana birthday party, and I said, I'll babysit for your daughter." Well, I babysitted for Hank Bauer's daughter, and I watched the late show, the late news, the late morning news. Hank Bauer and his wife come in about 5:30 in the morning, and we had an off day the next day. And Hank says, "Moose, look at my knuckles." And I said, "What?" He said, "I was accused of hitting somebody." And I said, "There's nothing wrong with your knuckles." So the next day, Dick Young got a hold of me, and he smooth-hawked me to go to the party. I said, I was babysitting for Hank Bauer's daughter. And Dick Young put, he said, what a guy won't do for a dollar. They thought I was getting paid. I didn't get anything, but I just thank God I didn't go to that Copacabana deal. Billy Martin got fined. Mickey, Whitey, Johnny Cooks, Hank Bauer, cost him a lot of dough. And I was babysitting.
I'll never forget, they came into Chicago the next day. And I went down in the dugout. I wanted to interview Casey Stengel, and I wasn't going to talk about the party. You know what? Why? I always avoided that sort of controversy.
I know.
And I didn't think it would be in good taste. But there was a television commentator with another station that came over to see Stengel, and he said, "Mr. Stengel, I'd like to do 5 minutes for you here on television for our news show tonight." So Casey turned to me and he said, Bob, is that going to interfere with our show? And I said, no, it won't. You'll have plenty of time. So the guys got the cameraman set up, and they got the lights out there, and Casey Stengel walks out into the circle. I won't mention this guy's name because I think he learned something from that interview, and I've seen his work since then, and he's improved greatly. He's really one of the best news commentators in town now. And as Stengel stepped into the circle, He said, our guest is Casey Stengel. He said, Casey, what about that brawl last night in the Copacabana? He said, seems like everybody's blaming Billy Martin. He said, what are the facts? And Casey said to him, well, you're an intelligent-looking young man. He said, you answer that yourself. And he went right back into the dugout.
I believe that's the way Casey was. He gave a lot of double talk. You know, Bob, I really respected this man. I know when writers were around and everything, sportscasters and interviewer wanted to interview him. He always gave the double talk, but I know one thing. When we made a mistake on that field, he talked real good plain English. And there were a lot of names he called me, and I respected him for it. And when I did something wrong on that field, he got me one-on-one, and he told me, this is the way I want it, and this is the way you're going to do it.
You know, you never had a chance to play for Joe McCarthy, but he was one of the great managers of all time. I think one of the great mistakes the Cubs made years ago was when they fired him. He went on to become one of the greatest managers that ever lived. And Bill Veeck's father was running the Cubs at that time. You know, he had one thing that you could really burn him up on, McCarthy. They'd blow a double play. Mm-hmm. It was a double play ball. And when they come into the dugout, McCarthy would say to the player, whoever he was, and bring the other guy over, he said, you know, boys, that was a double play ball. He said, if you can't make the double play here, you're going to learn to make it in Jersey City.
That's the way he was. Yeah. Remember the day at Sox Park when we had the sparklers, when Casey was running? Yeah. You guys had this scoreboard, and every time you hit a home run, the fireworks went up and everything. And and our trainer had some sparklers in the suitcase. And Hector Lopez, I'll never forget, he had two home runs that day. And the first one, we hit Hector hit over the center field fence, and Casey lit up the sparklers and running in the dugout up and back, and the guys in the bullpen. To me, I won't forget things like that the way Casey was.
What about an outfielder throwing to the wrong base or things like that? Was it tough on you know, occasionally you see a guy get a hit to right field. A run's going to score. It should be a single. The guy throws a long throw to the plate, and the batter goes to second base, which is not playing good baseball.
That's why, well, you know, at our time when we were playing, the ball players would remind the ball player about it. If he made a mistake, a mental mistake, when he come to the dugout, the guys would not attack him, but they'd just say, listen, you know, you're losing by two runs or one run. Get the ball to second base and prevent that guy going to third base. It's like me. I was no gazelle around first base. I mean, I had to learn to play my position. I had to go to dancing school. Casey Stengel says, Moosh, the only way you're going to make the major leagues, he says, you got to learn how to play first base. He sent me to Arthur Murray School in St. Petersburg, Florida, where we were training. And I had to learn how to dance 2-3 times a week. I was dancing.
I'm not going to take you out with my girlfriend.
No, but I can't dance now, no more anyway. But I was playing first base, and a man on first and second, and the ground ball hit to me. I was never told to throw the ball on the outside of the bag, and I used to hit the guys in the neck or in the head. Thank God they had helmets then. But the next day, Casey would get me on that field and say, Moose, Frank Rossitti's going to hit you a lot of ground balls, and I want you to make that play to second base. And that's the way he was for fundamentals, and I had to learn this after I made a few errors and lost a few games.
I'm sure you have wonderful memories of them. Yeah. We all do.
Write a book one of these days, Bob. I want to thank you for inviting me here, and you've always been nice to me. And when you asked me last week to come up here, I said I'd be very happy to. And
we'll be right back with you with our guest, Moose Garin. And we're delighted to have him, an old friend, a great ball player. He had a wonderful attitude. He was a credit to the game. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We'll try to get out and see the Cubs today. They're playing the St. Louis Cardinals. The White Sox are on the road, and Pittsburgh will be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It looks like the Cubs' task now is impossible, but they made a run at it. And I'm sure the White Sox are going to get strengthened over the winter time. You know, Moose, baseball is still the greatest game in the world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I enjoyed going. I went to two games at Cubs Park and two games at Sox Park this year. But, you know, I met Bruce Sutter and Mike Krukow, and they did me a favor. I asked them to make an appearance to meet 15 retarded kids. And I'll tell you, when Joe Mafitano said, "Moose, I'm getting Bruce Sutter and Mike Krukow to talk to these kids and shake," I'll tell you, these guys are great. They've been great to me, and I won't forget them for the nice gesture they did for me.
Well, Sutter has to be one of the all-time great relief pitchers. Something's happened to him since he's grown that beard.
I don't know what happened, Bob. I think maybe some of the guys are moving up on a plate against him, getting the ball before it sinks.
I think the beard, they don't know it's him.
Well, I don't know. But this, everybody's got their own way of doing it, and they try to do something. And, well, right now they're 9 games out on the loss side, and that's an important side.
Moose, thanks very, very much for being with us today, and thanks for the reminiscences. I already said you're a great credit to baseball and to your friends, and you're with the Litton Industries now, a great company, and I wish you lots and lots of luck.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Our guest today, Moose Garin, former great New York Yankee, also played with the White Sox. Try to get out and see the ball game today. Next Sunday, we'll talk football with Don Pearson, great football writer with the Chicago Tribune. Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday at our usual time.